Hello and welcome to what we will call the first edition of the Warriors All 82 podcast for the 2023-2024 season. We're giving you a preseason game, which means if there's a regular season game you wanted a podcast and didn't get one,
don't forget this one.
Don't forget this one. You heard the other voice. Marcus Thompson is showing up at a road preseason game, and he's doing a post-game podcast. He's lingering around.
You know us. It's about time. We got a little bit left, but, you know, getting up to Sacramento is always a good trip. I like this trip. I like this arena. I like the amount of people here that we can talk to. It's like a great collision of sources. So, yeah, you can't miss out on coming to Sac.
I agree with all that. An overtime preseason game, which included Usman Garuba and Alex Lynn trading monster jump shots in late in the fourth quarter to push it to overtime. Preseason's so funny sometimes because it was like, you know, there's 2 minutes left. It's an ESPN game. And it's, like I said, it's whatever, 119, 116. And suddenly, like, Jalen Noel is being, you know, iced off the bench. He hasn't played all night. Usman Garuba's taking jumpers. He played like 2 minutes, but those 2 minutes happened to be crunch time. It's just funny. You know, how it goes. Whereas the Warriors won an OT, and I think part of the reason the Warriors won an OT because Steve Kerr wanted to get Jonathan Kuminga and Moses Moody out there and Pajemski. Meanwhile, you know, the Stockton Kings were playing for the Kings.
I was curious about that. Like, because, you know, to be frank, I really wasn't paying that much attention. But, you know, fourth quarter, I was checked out. It's like, man, you look up, it's like, yo, why is Jonathan Kuminga still in the game? Why is Brandon Pajemski checking in? Like, what is happening? But, you know, It's smart, and this, I was reminded of you 2 years ago talking about how Kuminga should be playing more in the preseason, and these are, you could tell that those are the players who are going to get minutes, and he's like getting all these situations. Let's see how you handle it. Let's get that experience. And obviously Kuminga and Moody make sense, but to me, Pajemski was the one where he's like, he started the game, no Steph, no Chris Paul. And he finished the preseason game, which doesn't happen, which tells me he might be seeing some minutes in the rotation.
Well, I mean,
not big minutes, well, but the Ty Jerome minutes.
Yes, because there will be interest. Like he, and I think he's done enough in this preseason for Steve Kerr to trust a stint or two here and there when it matters. Now, if Corey Joseph's back of practice, played 3-on-3 today, probably going to play in a preseason game this week. He's playing opening night. Chris Paul's playing it opening night. Steph Curry's playing opening night. To be honest, Brandon Pajemski's probably not.
I keep forgetting about Corey Joseph.
Yeah, he played 3-on-3 today.
And I just saw him, too. Like, I just saw him in a locker room. Just still keep forgetting about
him. You just had a 20-minute conversation with Corey Joseph, and you forgot he was on the team.
Corey, take back everything I said about Brandon Pajemski, except for the fact that Steve really likes him and he's going to play some. But
Steve also likes Corey Joseph.
He does like Corey Joseph. I think Steph likes Corey Joseph too.
You know who else Steph likes? Brandon Pajemski.
Yes. Here's the thing. If you got somebody running the offense with, you know, at the top, the Andre Iguodala role, right? The whole play defense and just facilitate his offense, you know, growing up in a room type deal where Steph is running off the ball. To me, that's where I haven't seen Corey Joseph play, but I figure that's where he's going to be a factor. It's like he can stick an open shot, but he can just dribble the ball up the court and run an offense, and you don't have to worry about if it's going to be a turnover.
Organization, yeah. One of the words of the preseason.
Except he's like, really? I mean, he's smaller than what I even remember.
He's not tall.
He's pretty small.
This team is not tall.
Yeah, Corey Joseph is 5'11"?
No.
Come on.
He's probably 6'2".
6'1".
Okay.
All right. I don't know. He looks shorter than what I remember. Perhaps it's just like, you know, the street clothes and, you know, whatever. But I was like, hey, you kind of, I don't know. But, you know, pressure in the floor. I do feel like one of the reasons Pajemski is, you know, having such an impressive preseason, and I just think they're short on people who can guard point guards. And if Wiggins is not going to be, like, amazing on that end, then That's a hole that needs to be filled. You don't want Steph chasing around point guards.
Well, I mean, Gary's going to matter. And honestly, Gary Payton looks really good right now.
And that's the one. That's the one you got. You need two. You need three.
Jonathan Kuminga.
Yeah. I mean, I'm assuming Wiggins at some point is going to start looking like Wiggins again. Right now, it feels like he's just taking open threes.
Gliding into the post or regular season.
So, you know, maybe he's more of like a 2-3 guy. I don't know if I want to see regular season Chris Paul, because preseason Chris Paul don't look like he's guarding point guards.
Yeah. Kuminga, 32 minutes tonight. I'm talking to him post game. We had to wait a while because he clearly was getting, you know, training table work done, because it was like a laborious preseason game for him. 17 free throw attempts tonight. Talked to him for a little bit post game. I'm gonna write about him this week, but he, it's kind of an emphasis of his to get to the line. But you know, he mentioned, hey, his shot wasn't going as well tonight, so he wanted to go to the rim. But, you know, I think he's been impressive. I think there's parts of his preseason game that won't, and the Warriors don't even want to translate to the regular season, which is like he's kind of been high turnover because he's probably been a little bit more aggressive with his shot attempts than they necessarily want him to be. I mean, you know, he's 26 points, 24 points, 28 points. A lot of good. He's going to have to pare it back a little bit, especially with the shot selection. I sat down with Steve Kerr in L.A. It'll be in the story. But, you know, talking about what threes they do want him to take, what threes they don't want him to take. So what you're seeing in the preseason, I don't expect to suddenly opening night against Phoenix. It's 28 points. It's 17 shots. It's a bunch of free throws. It's turnovers. It's like, you know, Paul George 2.0 out there. But you still got to be encouraged, not only with what you're seeing, but I don't know what I'm hearing. Like they're really happy with him behind the scenes. And I'm talking about his mental approach beyond just how he looks physically.
It's impressive too, considering what he's been through with this franchise, that he still's got a good head on the shoulders. I heard he's looking great in practice. Like, incredible in practice. What he's doing is earning the right to play through his mistakes, because they're gonna come. And also he's showing, like, you know, something, you know how it is, some nights, man, you get a bad matchup. Half the Warriors' problem last year was they didn't have a dude who could just take his man off the dribble and get you something. And if Kuminga can do that, if he gets a favorable matchup and he can just take advantage, like, he's showing I'm down to cook this dude, which, you know, you don't want it every night, but if that's what's there, that's what's there. But it feels like he is solidified as somebody who's going to get his time, because they just so desperately need what he brings. And, I mean, I feel him on the shots, but his shot has never looked better. Like, his shot looks pretty good.
Yeah, and he said it the other day in L.A. that last year it was like, oh, the defender's sagging off me. There's, like, just the natural hesitation. This year, the mindset, or at least, you know, the mindset he's trying to have is, like, you're paying for sagging off me.
Are you giving me space? Let's go. There's a good – you could tell the balance, though. You could see him trying to force his drive. I still feel like he picked the ball up too early, and he's, you know, he leans a little too heavily on the Euro, where it's like one more dribble, go up strong, and, you know, keep it a little simple. But you could see the balance. You could see him. The thing that's probably most impressive for Steve Kerr is you could see him, like, going – like, it clicks, I got a rebound, and he'll go in and just, like, jump and crash and go get a rebound. Some possessions he will forget, but then you can see him like, oh, I got to go rebound.
They have told him, see, Kerr told me this the other day, they have given him for the first time this season free reign. They've told him, anytime you want to crash, you are allowed to crash. You don't have to get back. If you want to go attack for an offensive rebound, go attack an offensive rebound. Kuminga just said the only guy they gave that to last year, I mean, besides Looney, obviously, was Wiggins, you know, a non-big. And I think that's part of this idea, this push and pull, this balance, that Kuminga's got to do a little bit more stuff that the coaching staff wants, but they have to give him a little bit more free reign. I think one of the things that they're trying to show him this year is a little bit more trust, not only with playing time, but a situation like that. Like, we think you can be a lead offensive rebounder. If you want to crash, crash. And I think they believe that'll also turn up the aggressive mindset.
And take out the thought of, is this the time I go, is this the time I don't? And that's,
will the coaches be mad?
Yeah, that's the part. And, you know, because he's such an explosive athlete,
Like, you don't want, you're like, you kind of want them just being in that mode instead of thinking, like, you know, wondering, and you know, should I do this or should I not? It just, it zaps a little bit of that, you know, quickness that you want from him. That's what he brings. It's like watching them, and it's preseason, right? I get it. So it doesn't look, but they just don't have much juice. You know what I'm saying? Like, Kuminga,
size, speed, youth, athleticism, like, not in abundance on this
run. Even like when Moody comes in, remember Moody was like, he's not the athlete, he's the solid guy, you know, he'll play good minutes, he'll play defense. I mean, he doesn't have a crazy upside athletically, but you can feel it when he's in the game.
It's like the youth.
It's the youth, you know, you got a lot of dudes like who are older, who are taking their time. It's how you used to feel about Wiggins. You know, he's just like bouncing up and down the court. He's fat. Like, Wiggins is kind of chilling. It's preseason, so I'm not going to get him yet, but he's kind of chilling. But when Kuminga's out there, you can feel there's some like, impactful athleticism and energy out there. Same with GP is one of those guys, too. Like, to me, they need that more than they're harmed by his mistakes and shot selection. Like, he's solidified. Like, yo, he's got to play, man. Like, you can't tuck him on the bench. And also, there's nobody else who's taking his minutes. Like, who are you giving them to, Rudy Gay?
No, but Draymond Green is getting closer. Draymond Green's been doing individual workouts. I saw him in L.A. doing a long one. And, you know, when he returns, it gets a little, you know, becomes a little bit more of a logjam.
Just trim everybody's minutes. They don't need to play 35 minutes. It's really that simple. And, you know, I guess you can't say that because last year they couldn't win a road game to start. Remember, they was playing Steph 40 minutes down the street, closing games, like trying to get a road win.
Yeah.
So it's possible they might need these to run these guys.
And, you know, the truth about Kuminga isn't like, oh, this is finally the year that in the regular season he may get a stretch of games where he's in the rotation. Like, that's already happened. That's happened for months at a time. When Wiggins was out the entire second half last year, he was in the rotation every night. To me, the big question about him this year is, can he get to the point that when playoff game one comes, everybody in the building, including Kuminga, including Steve Kerr, of course he's getting 25 minutes a night, that guaranteed.
That name is inked. It's not penciled. Yeah. It's inked. If it isn't this year, then that probably means he's not going to be on this team. Because at that point, then what are you doing? You know, I feel like a big part of their championship aspirations is dependent upon Kuminga being highly productive and valuable and, you know, having a real role in the postseason. I just think that's going to be too important. They don't have these other pieces that you can just bank on anymore. You know, there's no Otto Porter. You know what I'm saying? There's no Bielitsa. There's no Dante DiVincenzo. Like, it's got to be Kuminga now. Like, that's what it is. And he looks like he's ready. I mean, obviously it's preseason, but he looks like he's ready for it. We'll see.
Discover the latest collections from David Yurman, as seen recently, styled on basketball stars like Jaime Jaquez, Jalen Green, D'Angelo Russell, and others. David Yurman is a celebrated American jewelry company inspired by the beauty of art, architecture, and the natural world. The story of David Yurman begins in New York City with David, a sculptor, and his wife Sybil, a painter and ceramicist. When the artists began collaborating, their goal was to simply make beautiful designed objects to wear. Over 40 years later, the Yurmans and their son Evan continue to redefine American luxury jewelry with timeless, modern collections for women and men defined by inspiration, innovation, consummate craftsmanship, and cable, the brand's artistic signature. David Yurman's collections are available on davidyurman.com.
What else in this overall preseason slate has stuck out to you?
Defense.
Not great.
Oh. No. It's still funny watching people like catch fire against the Warriors, right? It's like, what, the Kings hit like the first six?
They were 8-12 in the first quarter, which the Lakers also were. The
Lakers were here. We're watching them, like, people are just, they're hitting shots. They're getting open looks. They're getting comfortable set looks.
How about Sabonis splashing too early tonight as like a statement? This will be different this year.
That's those are two threes that if I'm picking any of the ones that were taken and made during this preseason, I'm taking those from Sabonis. Like, you go ahead, buddy. You have at it. You defend your postseason honor with preseason success.
He came out like it was a big one for him.
Didn't it feel like they were like, this is the rematch? Like
the starters did, but then fast forward to the fourth quarter, and it's like Colby Jones, Alex Lynn. Alex Lynn just hit a monster top of the key three.
No, they were hyped. It was kind of electric for a preseason game. They were on point. That was pretty interesting. I have concerns about their perimeter defense. Obviously, you have concerns about them going against any big, just because, you know, the size thing. But like how they stop hot guys. Like how do they deal with the Malik Monks of the world who just give them problems? Like,
I think the perimeter defense is much more of a concern than the interior, because it, you know, Kevon Looney and Draymond Green are about as good as you can get as a defensive interior combo at the highest level of playoff basketball. What they have at the point of attack is a lot more questionable. You know, Klay in this state of his career, Wiggins not looking yet like playoff Wiggins from 2 years ago. Will he ever get back to that? Gary Payton took a physical step back last year. Does he get, you know, I'd say it's been encouraging how he's moving around the court. But even when he's at his best, he's a spot guy. He's not a 30-minute-per-night guy. Kuminga, you know, we talked about him earlier, but yeah, like him taking a step forward could change things. But, look, they're going to start. Well, at least, you know, we'll see if Chris Paul's starting when everyone's back together. But there's going to be a lot of Chris Paul, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson lineups. And, you know, there was Jordan Poole, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Andrew Wiggins lineups that sometimes worked well, but also I think last year you saw was really bad defensively. You would think Paul for Poole ups your defense a little bit, but they're still small.
Yeah, they're still small. They're definitely better at, like, you know, like one thing Poole didn't do well was apply ball pressure, because he was, you know, so worried about getting beat. Or funneling a guy another way. Like, Chris Paul will be able to do all that little stuff and savvy. Like, if you mess with the ball around him, he could still take it. You know, like, I don't think it's I'd be surprised if you're getting the old CP, like, I'm going to be a problem, at least on a regular diet. But if you got a couple guys with a little energy and a little bounce, they're going to have some problems just staying in front of the ball. And the guys you're talking about, the question is, how much offense are they sacrificing to be able to guard those guys? Like, that's always the question. If Kuminga is scoring better, that helps you a lot. But if Gary Payton doesn't hit them open corner threes, now you're sacrificing a little bit of offense. Like, Malik Monk hit Klay Thompson with a crossover tonight, and it was like, yeah, he ain't guarding them dudes no more. Like, That's not his thing.
Where's Jared Vanderbilt? Get him on Jared Vanderbilt. And then the other thing is where Looney and Draymond excel is, in my opinion, against, like, you know, the ADs, the Jokic's of the world. Like, you are comfortable with them post defensively. What neither of them do, especially Draymond, you know, in this later stage of his career also, is rim protect.
Yeah.
You know, traditional rim protection, which adds to the, okay, you know, you're getting blown by at the point of attack and you don't have anyone at the rim. Whereas, I mean, Trayce Jackson-Davis, who he's not going to be in the rotation, but he had a couple nice blocks tonight where you're just like, you kind of forget, like, oh, yeah, that's like a skill that this team doesn't really have in its rotation. It's just like a big that, you know, erases a perimeter mistake.
It feels like it's been a while too. You know, GP2 is that guy, right? The weak side blocker. I think Wiggins can do it, but I feel like since KD has been coming from the 3-4 position more than the 5. But yeah, to me it's the biggest worry. And the other thing with, obviously, I don't think you're getting better than Looney and Draymond. Also, you just don't need them dudes, you know, going crazy on the minutes, you know, like, so to me, Saric is going to be, I don't know if he's that guy either, but let me stop, because I was saying the same thing about Bielitsa before the season began, and I was like, I don't know if you throw a Sarge out there at small ball five and having any success defensively. I could be wrong.
The one thing I will say about Sarge, and I've talked to other people about this too, who've been around, but he's bigger in person than you would imagine, or at least than I thought. Having like covered him, you know, obviously from afar, watched him plenty. He's pretty sturdy, bigger guy that, you know, again, you're not just like, yeah, sure, get in isolation against Jokic all night, but he holds up. Like, to me, he's bigger than a Bielitsa, even bigger than like an Otto Porter. When Otto Porter, I thought the same thing. Remember when Otto Porter came along? Right, I was like, whoa, he's bigger than I thought. I feel the same about Sarge.
And, you know, obviously he's here for his offense, though, and his shot looks nice, you know. Mm-hmm. He looks like a guy he's gonna be a problem offensively, you know, for the opponent. Like, he can stretch the floor. That's what they just desperately needed. Yeah, they're just going to have to find guys who could just lock up and shut down some other parts. GP2, Kuminga, Pajimski, all these veterans keep telling me Trayce Jackson-Davis is going to get some playing time. They like him. I think it's for that reason. Like, obviously, they don't control the minutes, but
the game-winning block the other night. It was nice.
They just like that physicality, you know, the burst. Like, to me, defensively is going to be it. I know Steve Kerr said he wants to get back to being a top 10 defense. That would be impressive if they pulled it off, just based on what we've seen.
Yeah. The Chris Paul experience. I know we talked about it on the last podcast, but any additional thoughts on what you've seen through, you know, however many games? He does, by the way, he didn't play tonight. Steph didn't play. Normal rest coming up. Dress rehearsal week coming up a little bit. Sounds like they're going to get the starters up near 30 minutes. So you're going to see that a little bit more. But Chris Paul?
He looks happy. He looks very happy.
He does.
He looks very happy. I was talking to him, you know, obviously he didn't play, but he's chilling. He just the way he's walking around talking to people. He had a conversation with Alvin Gentry, who, you know, he was with in the Clippers. And, you know, obviously it's preseason. You see guys, you're happy. But there's just – I don't know how to describe it. He just seems very comfortable and fits in very well.
He seems invigorated by the situation. He definitely does seem like he is trying to get along very well early. You know, obviously the questions about a lot of this team will come when, like, you know, when there is a closing lineup decision made in a loss, when there's a four-game losing streak, when somebody's in a slump. And you know that's there's just no tension during the preseason. Facts, although there was tension last preseason, which was what made it so rare. But like, you know, there's just no reason for there to be tension now. So I'm like, it's not going to be this happy, as you're mentioning, all year. But I agree that, like,
at least it's starting here instead of starting at a different place.
Right? It is starting here, and you know, he's conversing so much, and I know that's something that has gnawed at past teams, particularly by year two, year three, year four of Chris Paul. It's like, gosh, he just got something to say, you know, on the sideline about every little play. The Warriors are like embracing it and like Steve Kerr. I was watching during the Laker game down in LA, and it's like he's coming over to have a conversation with Steve Kerr every 2 minutes about something that he's seeing, and it's typically not even about him. It's like something he'll be on the bench like, oh, Pajemski and this, you know, can do this over there. And it's like, you would think, you know, again, maybe in the past, like, a coach would be like, all right, you know, maybe Monty Williams by the end of Phoenix is like, Chris, we don't need your thought on this. But, like, right now, they're, like, loving the conversing of him. Especially
it's a void. Like, it's what they don't have. And, you know, that's who Andre was, right? That's what Draymond was. Like, Sean Livingston, they've always had those voices. And last year, they just didn't have him, man. Draymond's voice was neutered by the incident. Like, the other guys didn't kind of talk anyway.
And Andre played 3 games.
Yeah, it's like that. It's been a void that, like, I think they feel like. I was talking to, I don't know if he wanted me to say this on the record, but I was talking to one of the older players in the locker room, and they were like, this feels like 2 years ago. And that's part of it. Like, it was a bunch of OGs. Like, you know, there was just a sense of, like, purpose and understanding. Like, everybody was good. Like, it just feels like that to them. I do think they missed that part. And Chris Paul is probably, you probably can't get better at somebody who's going to bark out direction, hold people accountable. The question with Paul is going to be, like, how he plays on the court, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, he's making some turnovers that look like they're affecting him more than he's affecting them. But that's just, like, early preseason trying to get used to everything. But they like and they need somebody to talk and to understand and to, you know, put people in the right place, because it's just – it's something they've had that last year they didn't have.
Yeah. And in general, I mean, it's beyond Chris Paul, but, like, yeah, the vibes seem very positive around this team. I mean, I do sense genuine encouragement about how the rookies look, you know, how Chris Paul is fit, how everyone came in pretty good shape. I know that's kind of been a theme behind the scenes, but the way they worked this summer, the shape people are in. And we'll see.
I think he's going to be good, though. I think Chris Paul is going to be good, especially – like, on the road, I think that's where Chris Paul is going to come in handy.
Down the stretch of games, yeah. This is a big one. Anybody else? Anything else?
Moody, man. Moody's good. Moody's pretty good. Do they do the choose between, like, is it between Kuminga and Moody this year on the minutes?
Well, I mean, he's shown his hand early on with, you know, you have the six starters, which he calls them. Obviously, one of them will be coming off the bench when Draymond's back. And then, if you just count it out, Saric is going to play 7. Kuminga is going to play 8. I think you're talking basically, you know, Moody, Gary Payton, and Corey Joseph. You're talking about like 9, 10, 11 there. So I think it's kind of Moody, Gary Payton. And, I mean, you know Steve Kerr, especially early in the season, like, Moody's going to get on the floor in the first several games. It just might, as potentially the 10th man, it just might be for, like, 8 to 10 minutes.
So, Kuminga is the Wiggins replacement? Is he the Wiggins backup?
I mean, yes. And, I mean, depends on what the starters are, right? Is Draymond back in this scenario that we're talking? Is Draymond coming off the bench? I wouldn't be surprised. Draymond's probably going to debut off the bench, just considering minutes restriction and all that. So, then... Yeah, I mean, Wiggins is your 4, but like, it's Draymond your backup 4. I mean, there's all different kinds of combos that they're going
to
use.
But, like, when they get to midseason form and Draymond is playing, we just seen the situation where it's like, if Moody's going, that means Kuminga's not. And if Kuminga's going, that means Moody's not. Is there a universe where they can coexist and both get minutes?
With every single person on the team healthy and it's like a big game where everyone has full minutes. I don't know. Yeah, it might be tough. I mean, we're talking about basically the 7th and 9th or 10th man at this point on a veteran team. So I think Kuminga has a firmer grasp on guaranteed rotation spot at this point. But the plan is Moody's going to get on the floor. He's not going to get DMPs at least early.
Yeah, I see that. And then, you know, one of the luxuries of having a roster – full of 30-plus-year-olds is you can give some nights off. And
the NBA does not want you to give them nights off.
Not 2 at a time. Just 1. And does Chris Paul count? Has he made All-NBA in the last?
I think he might have been an All-Star 2 years ago.
Oh, yeah. All-Star. I forgot All-Star. Yeah, so.
I think he counts. Wiggins Clay actually counts.
Clay does not count. That's right. So, Clay can, I do feel like they'll figure out a way. And plus, also, it's healthy rest, right? So, you can always just say, my quad. And there you go. So.
Yeah, that's.
Those
I mean,
guys
that's
going to get a lot of games based on that stuff. You're going
to
get.
It'll just have to be reported as sore hamstring instead of rest. Yeah. Okay. I mean, I don't know how the league can, in the middle of an NBA season, be like, no, your hip isn't sore tonight.
Spies in the locker room, Big Brother.
I guess we are technically that.
Oh.
What do you mean? You know, we're reporting. Is it rest? Or is it
snitching? That we're gonna be out here. Hey, they're saying hip, but I just saw him dancing.
Oh, all right.
I'm not snitching, Adam Silver. Forget y'all.
Wow. Anything else? We'll probably do we will do a Warriors plus minus this week at some point. Maybe after the Wednesday game. I don't know.
Man, I'm out.
I'm going home.
Me too. See ya.